Yeah, Rems. We've played a few years together in junior there. We've been good buddies ever since. We live close to each other in the summers. I'm super happy for him. I mean, he's been working real hard his whole career. He hasn't done it the easy way. He's taken pride in doing the things that guys don't want to do, and you know, it's paying off for him. So I couldn't be more happy for him. I couldn't be more proud for him.
It was so great to have Ty Bauer on the podcast. This is Jamie Thomas alongside Tyler Eskville. This is Ground Control, the official podcast. The Winnipeg Jets, that is Manitoba Moose defenseman Ty Bauer. Good friends of Matt Rempe, the guy that's overtaking the National Hockey League right now from a enforcer's perspective.
Yep.
Of course, Rempe is from the New York Rangers. We'll hear about that from Ty Bauer a little bit later in the podcast. But let's get to the nuts and bolts of what's going on here.
The bolts and nuts.
With the Winnipeg Jets, who have losses in four straight. It's a four-game winless streak. They got a single point against the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday night. A tremendous hockey game.
It really was.
I love it whenever the Oilers and Jets get together. You get every inch of entertainment that you should get. The unfortunate side of things is the Jets lose and now have someone breathing over their shoulder. There's a long conversation. We'll get to Nashville in a second, but there's all that. It's top three. Top three. It's Dallas, yeah. Colorado, Winnipeg. Well, the Nashville Predators have certainly entered into the party right now. They have points in 18 straight games.
Objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear.
They're just like looking back. There's like, oh, man, the guys in yellow coming down. Yeah. So Jets fight back from a 3-1 deficit in the third period to tie the Edmonton Oilers. They go on to lose 4-3 on a goal from Mr. 50-goal guy.
51.
51 now.
Yeah.
It's just tremendous what he has done.
And earned, right?
And earned, yes. It's funny how these things work out.
Interesting. You know, not that I wanted him to.
No, we don't need it. But Zach Hyman is a tremendous hockey player, and I think, you know, anybody that plays this game earns it flat out.
I don't think you get to be here based on certain opportunities you were afforded or not afforded.
Yeah. I think that's – I don't know. I'm
talking about playing in the National Hockey
League. Play to win the game.
You don't get in the lineup anyway. Not our player. We're not going to discuss.
Here's our guy. Just take this check and.
Oh my God!
the comeback's certainly not enough. There's lots of when teams go through stuff like this, we do have to address the fact that it's the wrong time of year for this to be happening.
Yeah.
I think a lot of frustration from people. We'll hear people in the mailbag about you play the game of the year in some instances in New York against the Rangers. You know, they win that one 4-2. Mark Scheifele has a hat trick. Everything's good. Then you start to go, this is after we did the podcast last week. You get the New Jersey
game. Man,
that
podcast was full of vibes. Positivity.
That's why this one feels so weird.
It does.
You get the New Jersey game. You give up three power play goals. Unheard of. You haven't seen that all year. Go on to Long Island. Give up six even strength goals. Unheard of.
Totally unheard of.
A goaltender's pulled. Connor Hellebuck gets pulled. There's the first time this year the Jets have had to pull their goaltender. And it wasn't because of Connor Hellebuck. It was just like a mercy pull at that point, and you needed some bump. And they got a little bit of that. You go into Washington, you play a much better game, are not rewarded for it. I feel you deserve a much better fate.
Yeah, their goalie played really well, too.
Yeah, Charlie Lindgren was simply outstanding for the Washington Capitals. So the Jets come home, and we hear the narrative a lot, long road trip, not going to play well. That was not the case. It was a great first period for the Jets.
Yep.
It was a great first period in Washington. So you're just starting to see signs of that was the team, that's the style of play the Winnipeg Jets want. Then a disastrous second period comes along against the Oilers.
And I think it was like more or less the back half of that second period too. Like, you know, they get the goal from Mason Appleton to kick things off. And I thought that was pretty appropriate given the fact that the Jets had their chances. Like I texted Mitch Clinton, our radio analyst, and said, like, you know, if the pucks had gone in, it could be 4-0 at a certain point. Like I get that, you know, that's not how hockey works, but they had like 4 or 5 gray days by the time Mason Appleton put the puck in the back of the net.
Yeah, for sure. And then the Jets were 33-1 when scoring first this year. So that – and there was a conversation beforehand. Got to score that first goal. So they do that. It's just they kind of felt like they went to sleep a little bit.
You know, credit to them. They reset. They figured it out in the third period. And you know, obviously they don't get the result. But, you know, I think there's a lot of that game that you can be happy about and happy with. And at the same time, know that you still have some things to work on as you continue this really important homestand.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, we're it's best for us to direct things and, you know, tell people what are happening, but the best people to ask about what is going on here and what happened in that game, it's got to be the head coach Rick Bowness, and certainly Brendan Dillon weighing in as well.
Well, I think you just look at the first two periods. The first period shows you how good we can be. And then the second period just shows you how bad we are when we get away from the way we're supposed to play, which we did in the first. Yeah, we got it back in the third. So it was kind of like that. That's how I assess it. That first was great. Second was terrible. And the third was even. So
I thought it was, we did a great job. I think our first and third we were really happy with tonight. I think we... especially after the kind of spell we've been on here over the last three games coming into tonight. You know, Bones challenged us as a group, and we know how good they've been going over there for, you know, the last 40, 50 games, and both teams fighting for some home ice advantage, and, you know, the best player in the world. I think we answered the bell on that, and like you said, frustrating, but we can't get the second point.
During this four-game slide, the Jets' power play is 0 for 12. And you think of a couple of things. There's two great instances where the power play needs to come through. At the end of the second period, which is not going well for you, you're down 2-1. There's a double minor called.
Yep.
You get a four-minute power play.
It was a gift from the hockey gods, it felt like.
Yeah, and there's another gift coming, which we're going to get to. So double minor, 4 minutes. The unfortunate part of that is not one shot is registered over that 4 minutes. So you can tee this up as many ways as you want, but the power play has to generate something at that point in the game when you're trying to turn the momentum in your favor when a period hasn't gone as well as you wanted it to.
Yeah, to a man, I think everybody in that dressing room would say that not getting a shot on a four-minute power play when you're down 3-1 is pretty well unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Jets just, they need to figure that out. You know, doing a little bit of digging, I think, you know, take this with a grain of salt because, I mean... these are all very good hockey players, and they're all trying very hard, and so there's that.
We will never question effort. I will never question effort.
No, I'm never going to question
execution is another matter.
When the Winnipeg Jets, I believe, scored, what, three power play goals against the Vancouver Canucks on February 17, until the Gabe Vilardi injury, it was second in the National Hockey League. Since Gabriel has been absent, it's 28th in the National Hockey League. So you can't tell me that he's not an important piece to this power play. And obviously Sean Monahan coming in really helped that as well. But I think he was a great complement to what Gabe was doing in that little spot down low.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, once Gabe comes back, which hopefully he's been skating this week, well, if we're lucky, maybe we'll see him Thursday or Saturday against the Ottawa Senators. I think, you know, that hopefully could help change the tides a little bit for that Winnipeg Jets power play. But, you know, they have to, you know, I think they have to be a little bit faster. Zone entries are obviously a thing. And winning faceoffs off the bat are huge. I mean, you look at Edmonton, they win the faceoff and they're snapping it around right away.
Yeah.
So that's a great example of just what you need to do on that power play. So I think if they can iron out those things, hopefully get Gabriel back and just get back to that mojo in which they had for that 2.5 week stretch, I think they'll be in a good spot. And, you know, I think the playoffs are something that, you know, Winnipeg Jets fans are really going to truly judge this team upon.
100%.
So while what we're going through right now as an organization is very frustrating, I think let's hold our breath and wait till the real hockey starts. But in the meantime, the Winnipeg Jets need to get their game right.
Yeah, absolutely. And a big part of that is getting the power play going. And to speak to the power play issues is Rick Bowness and Nino Niederreiter.
We were down two goals against a really good team, but it's another night that our specialty teams cost us the game. We've given up another penalty kill goal, a power play goal against, and the power play didn't do anything. So, but it was, again, I told the guys, like, we were down 3-1, and we battled back. So there's a lot of fight in there. We just have to stop beating ourselves.
I mean, we had a hard time getting into the zone and establish some good looks, some shots. And I think that's something which, I mean, you look at Edmonton, how they move the puck around, how they attack the net, and I think that's something which we got to do a much better job of.
So Tuesday night, bunch of games, and at this time of year, you are scoreboard watching. The Jets did get some help.
Yep.
Thank you to the Montreal Canadiens, who beat Colorado in Denver.
Yeah.
Which is literally
McKinnon scored in the first minute.
Yeah, of course, for his point streak at home to continue, but the Avalanche do not win that game. So Montreal does the Jets a favor. I believe Dallas beat San Jose, so that's no surprise.
Wow, yeah. their remaining schedule is not taxing.
No. And then the other side of things, we've referenced it earlier, Nashville, who was down 4-1 in the third period on home ice to the Vegas Golden Knights. So now you're looking at it. I looked at one point as 4-2. I'm like, okay, well, Vegas is going to help the Jets out tonight. That is not the case. Nashville fights back, ties it up at 4. Roman Josi scores in overtime. So they are now up to 16-0-2 in their last 18 games. The last team to record a point streak, according to NHL stats, of 18 or more games was the Colorado Avalanche in 21-22, a season that ended with them hoisting the Stanley Cup. So you can look at that as you will. But the Nashville Predators are a direct threat now and have entered into the conversation as a team that is to be reckoned with in the Central Division. So now, like, you can look at things in a bunch of ways. Jets got to make the playoffs. So this whole conversation, well, they need home ice. They need to finish first. It doesn't matter. Wherever you finish in the Western Conference right now, you are getting somebody of
quality. Yeah, I don't think there's an easy out in the playoffs.
Because I get asked all the time on radio hits, who do the Jets want? Do they want Dallas? Do they want Colorado? I'm like, well, you kind of have to worry about Nashville. You have to worry about Vegas.
Yep.
Like, Vegas very well could be the 8th seed and then the defending Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah.
So I think the
important part here that you really want to, you know, opponent is whatever.
Irrelevant.
Like, to me, it's irrelevant. Like, sure, maybe you match up against certain teams better than others. And I think that's a question more for inside the dressing room based on systems and all that stuff. I'm not privy to. But the important part is you want home ice advantage. And that, you know, was, I think, well within the Jets' grasp for a good chunk of this season.
Well, it's a good thing to build off of.
Yeah, it helps.
It's a nice feather in your cap. You have home ice. You finish first in the Central. That's fantastic. And I'm not writing it off. This is still a possibility. There's still 10 games left as we tape this podcast. But there's conversations now as just get in the playoffs, get your game right is the thing. So pose the question. Funny how this works. Just ask what your level of panic is. One being they're going to be okay. 5 is it's out of control here. Saw a lot of fives.
On Twitter?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny how that works out. 10, I saw a 10, which is okay, whatever you want to get into. So I looked at 4. There's a good balance here. So Eric says, I'd say a 2 because every team goes through ups and downs during the regular season. Better to figure it out now versus in a playoff series. Another one from Amisha, 4, scared for playoffs after this slump. Fair. 4, they've shown flashes of being that team that dominates the first half. But have to start capitalizing on scoring chances. Totally fair. And don't get me started on special teams. And then last but not least, Taylor says, 3, I don't love the slump that they've hit, but I feel like they've had their ups and downs throughout the season. So long as they don't go in the first round in this slump, I'm not too worried. So I ask you, before we go to our play of the week, what's your level of concern right now from a 1 to 5?
I mean, I'd say probably about a 2, to be honest.
I'm with you on 2.
I mean, yeah, a 1 would be, I don't, whatever.
Yeah.
4-game losing streak, obviously, over time, I think they've shown some flashes over the last 2 games.
Yes.
That, you know, when they play to the way they know they can and they should, I think good things happen for the Winnipeg Jets. So, and they built themselves a nice cushion to, you know, afford them some time, apparently, to figure this out. And that's okay. But yeah, I'm with everybody. I think we judge this team based on truly at the end of the day, what happens in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if you're out in the first round and it's a great 7-game series, then okay. That's different than a 4-game sweep. I think that needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
Losing in 5 and like last season or losing in 7, very different.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just wait and see.
I mean, thanks to everybody that weighed in the mailbag and the ground control question of the week. Moving now to the play of the week, and it feels like forever ago that this happened. It was after we did the podcast in Newark, New Jersey. The Devils and Jets got together. I feel like it's almost like
were good. That was a great day at that practice.
It was 1-0. It was 1-0 for New Jersey in the second period, and then Nikolaj Ehlers went to work. Here is our play of the week.
Scheifele, his pass is broken up. That hit a body on the way through. Nosek is able to get off here. No other Devils can change yet. Oh, beautiful move by Ehlers. All the way in, he scores. Taking advantage of a tired Devils group. He skates through and ties it at 1.
Ehlers flying up the ice, rips it past Allen, and we're tied at 1.
Hi, I'm Neil Pionk.
Score! Neil Pionk, what a play!
And this is the Ground Control Podcast.
organizationally, not everything is bad. The Jets prospects right now are, you look at Rutger McGroarty, he's taking part of the NCAA tournament, Dominic DeVincentis, Colby Barlow, Jacob Julian, all part of the Ontario Hockey League playoffs.
You had a great tweet on that.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice job.
I appreciate that. So they check that out to see where everybody's playing in the playoffs right now. And of course, Connor Levis, also playing with the Vancouver Giants, he's involved in the Western Hockey League playoffs at this point. But another, the guys that are a little bit closer to the National Hockey League, the Manitoba Moose, they're playing well.
Fantastic, like, hockey right now.
They are. It's amazing what happened. You know, they've got some great goaltending from Thomas Milich and have pulled themselves. It feels like they're a certainty to make the playoffs just where they finish in the Central Division, the American Hockey
League. Which is pretty surprising to think, you know, just based on where they were sitting, you know,
they were in
around
a bad
Christmas.
Place. They were in a bad
Things
spot.
Things were not good. There was a 10-game losing streak. The Moose folks in the office sit on the other side of the wall from us. And,
it was pretty quiet over there.
It was quiet.
Now they're just a little bit louder.
Yeah, megaphones out and everything.
Playoffs do that to you. It's getting close. And so we are going to capitalize on the good things going on with the Manitoba Moose. Here is a conversation with Ty Bauer, defenseman for the Moose. Pleased to be joined by Manitoba Moose and Winnipeg Jet prospect Ty Bauer. Ty, things are turning the corner here with the Manitoba Moose. What can you kind of point to as the what the turning point was to get you guys back on track here?
Yeah, thanks. First of all, thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it. We're rolling right now. We feel good. I don't know if I can pinpoint any one thing. It's just we're starting to come together. We're starting to learn. We're starting to read off each other. You know, we've been working really hard, practices, games, to try to adjust little pieces of our game and figure out what it takes to play at this level. And I think we're doing that now, and it's showing on the ice.
You know, it was a younger roster to start the year. You had a lot of transition into, you know, you've got Brad Lambert, you've got, you know, lots of younger players, Chaz Lucius coming in more full time and stuff like that. Did you feel like that there was a kind of getting used to one another on a full time basis for the forwards and defensive group for you guys this year?
Yeah, I'm sure that plays a little bit. There's every team, you know, the best teams, they say, always have the best chemistry, right? So, you know, the forwards have to learn off each other. I know we've shuffled around some lines here and there before we found our combinations, and the same on the back end. So I think that chemistry is coming together, and, you know, we're having fun doing it. It's kind of showing on the ice there.
And clearly a guy that you know pretty well, Thomas Milich, has played fantastic between the pipes for you guys. Can you speak to his elevated play and his adapting to the professional level in his first year in?
Yeah, yeah. You know, as you know, I played with Tommy for a few years now. So he's come in and he just did what you know, we had to do and what we expect him to do. He's been a rock. He's been solid back there. He works hard. He's a great guy off the ice. So we're just going to go out and put our best foot forward as a team every night to play for our goalies.
And you guys have the Seattle Thunder contingent going there right now. Lambeau played there for, you know, just a little bit after trade deadline. Can you speak to how great of a fan base there is in Seattle? You know, I talked to Thomas last month about it and just how they continue to follow you guys after your career in the Western Hockey League is over.
Yeah, it's incredible. Seattle is a very special place. It's a special place to me. I spent 4 years there. Like you said, the fans, I mean, they care about you. They care about where you're going. They care about how you're doing. And not only on the ice, but individually too. They're always in your back corner, kind of, you know, they might text you every once in a while, you know, or say something online. And it's nice to know that family's still out there and that those relationships lasted a long time, because they are very important to me, and I'm sure to Tommy and everybody else that's played there as well.
You were a big part of the leadership group in Seattle. Are you feeling your voices getting a little bit bigger as a member of the Manitoba Moose as you move on in your professional hockey career?
Yeah, I'm just showing up and I'm being me. I'm going to be me on the ice, work hard, try to push the guys off the ice, you know, just let everybody know that I'm there for them if they ever need anything, and, you know, try to have an impact that way too. So, you know, it's a time thing, with as is a lot of stuff, but just go out there and work your hardest every day and try to be a good influence on the team.
And I mean, listen, it's like leadership comes easy, leadership doesn't come easy to many people. Why does it come so easy to you, Ty?
I don't know if I have a solid answer for you there, Jamie.
Yeah.
I just try to be a good teammate is really what it comes down to. Like I said, making sure guys know I have their backs. That's on the ice. That's off the ice. Showing up every day to work, trying to do the little things right. And you know, some guys might look at it and you know, it's theirs to take to it as they want to do with it. But you know, for me, it's just show up and be me every day and see where that goes.
Where did that come from? Did you get it from your parents? Was it just, did you feel like it came organically in terms of that the ability to lead, Tyrell? Sorry.
Yeah, it's more common than you think there. You know, I think it's just about learning every day. Obviously, you mentioned parents. I have learned a lot from my parents, and the people close around me, from coaches and teachers. And I feel like I've had a really good support group my whole life. So you learn what to do, you learn what not to do. And it's just about, you know, having that attention to detail of what's going on around you, learning to pick up clues on how people are doing. You know, I think it's just a genuine care of the people around you that kind of leads to that.
The group gets closer every year. Obviously, as your time as a Manitoba Moose around, your time with the Winnipeg Jet organization, how much did development camp help that this past year, and certainly rookie camp and the rookie tournament in Penticton?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to get back on the ice in a Jets uniform, you know, for development camp and for that rookie tournament there. It kind of gets you in a competitive environment. You get to see some of the guys again. You get to meet some new faces, see the coaches again. So, yeah, I mean, that stuff does help. And like you said, that camaraderie of getting to know guys, building relationships early, and, you know, having that carry on to rookie tournament, then to training camp, and then to the American League, and hopefully one day the NHL. Kind of, it goes a long way when you start early.
For sure. And another one, you know, part of your defense corps with the Manitoba Moose is Ville Heinola. He's been through a lot, obviously a pretty serious injury in the preseason here in the National Hockey League. What have you seen from him and his fight back from a pretty bad injury?
Yeah, Ville's been great. He came back from that injury, stepped back in, played well. He's trying to do what he has to do to, you know, turn all the heads he has to turn. So, he's obviously great for us on the ice, and he does a lot off the ice too that is kind of noteworthy.
Now you guys are you're closing in on the playoffs, Ty. Can you smell it? Can you feel it coming around the corner? Because it's such a grind in the regular season. Can you feel the playoff? I know you haven't clinched the spot yet, and I don't want to jinx anything for you. I'll knock on wood when I talk about this right now, but do you feel that excitement building within the dressing room and around the rink?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the best time of the year. It's what we do it for. You know, this 10-game stretch kind of before the playoffs is crunch time. It feels like playoffs atmosphere on the ice in the dressing room. We feel it. And, you know, as that time of year gets closer, you know, it naturally gives the team more incentive to play and play hard, because it is an exciting time of year. It is why we play this game, and it's building, and it's fun to be around.
And then, listen, we all know when things start getting tighter, there's no time, you know, you're not that time to drop the gloves and get in a fight. Maybe do you think about it a little bit less? Is that a little bit less part of your game now with so much on the line getting towards the playoffs?
Well, to be honest with you, that's an interesting question there, Jamie. I don't think it's ever on my mind in particular. A lot of it is stuff that comes spur of the moment, or maybe, you know, it could be in terms of protecting a teammate or establishing a precedent or turning momentum. Like, there's a lot of different reasons as to why that might happen. So I don't think much changes. Obviously you want to play, but it's a part of the game. It's a part of my role. So if a situation comes up that, you know, might have to be taken care of, then I think it's no different than it was beforehand.
Yeah, I love that answer, Ty. Thanks for your honesty on that one. A friend of yours is making headways in the National Hockey League, Matt Rempe. Can you speak to your guys' friendship, obviously, from Alberta? You guys were teammates with the Thunderbirds. Can you talk about the sensation known as Matt Rempe right now?
Yeah, Remps. We've played a few years together in junior there. We've been good buddies ever since. We live close to each other in the summers. We do some training together, some little stuff here and there, and see each other often. So I'm super happy for him. I mean, he's been working real hard his whole career. He hasn't done it the easy way. He's taken pride in doing the things that guys don't want to do. And, you know, it's paying off for him. So I couldn't be more happy for him. I couldn't be more proud for him. And I'm in his corner all the way, and I can't wait to see where it leads.
Where did that friendship begin?
Yeah, you know, I first met him in Seattle at a spring camp down there. And to be honest, Jamie, I think he just had a way about him that he wasn't going to be told no. He was going to do what it took, and he put in the work. And I kind of picked up on that from him. And you know, we were both very competitive, and we both work very hard. So we kind of used that to kind of start the relationship, and it kind of went from there. Whether we were doing some extra work in the gym in Seattle or battling each other on the ice in practice, that's kind of where it started, and it leads us to where we are now.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of mutual respect there, because your guys' games are pretty similar, would you say, outside of the positions you play?
Yeah, besides the fact that there's nothing similar about them, I would say that it is similar in the fact that we play hard. We're willing to do stuff that other players aren't willing, or, you know, the harder stuff in the game. That's what we take pride in. We want our teammates to know that they're respected out there, and that they're safe out there, and we want to make it hard on the other team. So that work ethic and that pride in that part of the game is definitely mutual there.
Ty, I always appreciate your time. I always like talking with a guy from Cochrane, Alberta. We're good people, obviously, and I'm wishing you all the best in the stretch ahead, and thanks so much for taking the time during a busy schedule.
Jamie, I really do appreciate it. I got lots of time for you anytime.
So I must have been thinking of you when I did that interview, because I called Tyrell Ty. Tyler.
Tyler.
So embarrassing.
It's fine. My nickname outside of the work
is Ty.
It's Ty. Like, yeah. Everybody in my family and very close friends call me Ty, but nobody else does, which I kind of like. So don't start calling me Ty.
I feel like Tyrell is a name that Ty gets from when his parents are mad. I just like, so you,
yeah.
So it was a slip. So I apologize. And he said he did mention that it does happen more than you think, and you probably know this. So
I've gotten Taylor before.
I've every time I go to a coffee place, I'm not going to give free advertisement here. You know, even give your name. I always get Jeff.
My name's Jeff.
I'm Jeff. Okay. All right. Fair enough. But this is not a pity party for us in that department. So many thanks to Ty Bauer for that. And the Jets homestand will continue Thursday. The Vegas Golden Knights in town. Saturday, it will be the Ottawa Senators. And then, I believe, Tuesday, it will be the Los Angeles Kings.
Correct.
So that is all happening before we tape our next podcast. So many thanks to you. And before we leave,
I got a hoodie on.
Yeah. I'm starting to notice you're a hoodie guy. So, like, what is this that
is
you got
a,
from Jet Shop?
The gray pullover hoodie.
Yeah, you can get it at all Jets Gear stores.
Jets Gear.
And turnershop.com. It is very soft. it's a great hoodie if you're just like, you know what? It's Saturday. I don't feel like doing anything.
Except watch the Jets game on Saturday.
Watch the Jets game.
or listen.
Or come down to the Jets game. It's just a good snuggler hoodie.
Yeah.
You know, and if
you look warm and comfy.
And if your partner steals it, it's probably okay too.
Because that is a compliment to Jets
Gear. This
is like
a prime hoodie for partner thieving. It's very soft.
Yeah, that's
I can see my wife stealing this.
Yeah, it's a testament to how cozy it is and why you should go out and get one at Jets Gear. Appreciate your time as always.
Absolutely.
Many thanks to Ty Bauer as well for coming on the podcast. For those of you watching or listening, thank you very much for your time. We'll see you next week.